begin reading at verse 1. And then we'll be in the book of Psalm, chapter 105, beginning at verse 37. Genesis chapter 1, Psalm chapter 105. Thank you so much for your giving. Thank you for all that's been provided for our family this week. It's been a great, great blessing. The fellowship has been great. And Sunday, man, we enjoyed chili that I've been enjoying since I was a kid. And it's just something about getting together with friends that seem more like family, and I'm just so thankful for that tonight. And we want to say thank you for all that you've done. Amen. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Amen. Psalm 105, verse number 37. Speaking of the children of Israel coming out of the land of Egypt. Verse 37, he brought them forth also with silver and gold. There was not one feeble person among their tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for this word. Thank you for this congregation. Lord, I pray that we would receive the word of God tonight as it is preached to our hearts. Lord, I pray you would bring us to this altar. Lord, I pray that you would have your way in each and every one of our lives. Lord, when we leave this sanctuary, let it be said, Lord, that we'll never be the same. Give us an altar service to remember here tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that it's like a brush upon canvas. It's like good news from a far country. It's like a hammer upon a rock. Lord, I thank you for your Spirit and your word tonight. In Jesus' name, and everybody that loved the Lord said amen. Amen. You can be seated. In the beginning, God. How many knows that everything that we see began with God? It did not begin with a big bang. It did not begin with a group of cells that somehow floated together from the vast regions of nothing and collided in the center somewhere, and all of a sudden from goo to you by way of the zoo. In the beginning, it was God. Before there were any protons, neutrons, electrons. The Bible says that God is a spirit, and he seeks for such to worship him in spirit and in truth. Before there were any sub-particles that are unnaturally seen by the eye, before there was anything, before there was water, before there was dirt, before there was sky or clouds or fish, before there was anything, in the beginning, God. And the Bible says that he created the heaven and the earth. We look at the earth and the explanation that Moses gives to us. You know, Moses wrote the book of Genesis, don't you? Adam didn't write the book of Genesis, it was Moses. Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and he wrote those first five books, the Pentateuch they're called, and he begins to recount exactly what happened from the very beginning. In the beginning, God. The earth, the Bible says in verse 2, was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. In other words, there was no form. There was no structure. There was only chaos. How many knows that God is a God of order? How many's glad that at a time in your life when there was nothing but chaos, and you invited Him into your life, that He brought order to the chaos? Same thing that He did, Brother Holcomb, as He was here, His presence was manifest in the earth that was without form. He came to a place of chaos and He brought order. It says there was a chaos and there was a void. There was an emptiness and there was darkness upon the face of the deep. But the Bible says, in spite of all of this, in spite of the chaos, in spite of the fact that nothing was in order, in spite of the fact that there was a vast emptiness, nothing to fill the void, in spite of the fact that there was only darkness, no sun was yet created, no stars yet shone in their place above, the Bible says that even in all of this, that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. How many's glad tonight that the Holy Ghost can move in the midst of the chaos? I said He can move and bring order to the chaos. He can move in the emptiness and He can fill it with His presence. He can move in the darkness and shine the spotlight of heaven onto our souls, no matter how dark that it looks in your situation. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now, the Bible says that the Spirit of God moved. Now, there are many of you who are moving right now in this service. It is virtually impossible to hold perfectly still. Although there's a lot of guys in a deer stand tonight that are trying to do that. Right? It's impossible to hold perfectly still. Ask my wife. I cannot sit in church and hold still. That's probably because I'm nervous to get up here. But in the midst of all of this, the Bible says that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, notice, the Spirit is capital S. We know that's the Holy Ghost, don't we? I said, we know that's the Holy Ghost, don't we? We know that the Holy Ghost has been ever since the beginning. If we could say there was a beginning, the only way that Moses knew how to start the Bible is to say in the beginning. Because you don't start something in the middle. I said, you don't say, come on somebody, I'm going to take us to Sunday school here tonight. You don't start something in the middle, you start at the beginning. Well, God's outside of time, I realize that, but He bound us. I said He bound you and I to time when He created creation in a 6-day period. And He said, evening and the morning were the first day. And God saw what He had done, and He said that it was good. God was in the beginning. The Son was in the beginning. Let us make man in our image. And the Spirit of God is seen moving on the face of the waters. The same Spirit that met with Moses in the wilderness. The same God that met with Moses in that burning bush. The same presence of God that dwelt on top of the tabernacle when the sacrifice was made. And the cloud of glory came and stood in the presence of God's people. It's the same Spirit that was upon Elijah to prophesy. It was the same Holy Ghost that moved on Malachi. And He said, I'll send you Elijah the prophet, and he'll come and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers. And a few pages later, we see a man step out of the wilderness under the unction of the Holy Ghost. The same Spirit that moved in the chaos, the same Spirit that moved in the void and the darkness, it's the same Spirit that is moving in this house tonight. I feel a quickening. The same presence that led God's people out of Egypt into the promised land by way of the Red Sea and by way of the desert. Let me interject this. You will not leave Egypt and get to the promised land except by the way of the Red Sea and the way of the desert. It just depends on how much you drag your feet, how long you're going to stay in the desert. I don't know. I'm going to leave that for Pastor to preach on Sunday. Listen, the same presence of God. The Bible says that that night while the Egyptians were hot on their trail and the east wind is blowing all night, opening a way through the Red Sea, drying up the ground. They didn't walk through the mud. I said they didn't walk through the mud. They walked through on dry ground. A strong east wind was blowing all night long, but all day the pillar of cloud had covered the people of God. I said it had covered. The Bible says he spread a cloud for a covering. That's a mighty big cloud for to cover over 3.5 million Jews. That's a mighty big cloud to cover the camp of so many people. But how many knows that nothing is impossible with God? For with God nothing shall be impossible. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. There was a pillar of cloud that led them in the daytime and gave them shade in the wilderness. But there was a pillar of fire at night that stood in between the people of God and their adversary. And it's as if God was letting them know, I've got you covered. I said, I've got you covered. Is Egypt hot on your trail? I've got you covered. Are you sick in your body? The Bible says there was not one that was weak among them, not one feeble person. Are you sick in your body? He's got you covered. Do you need deliverance? He's got you covered. Do you need your joy restored? He's got you covered tonight. The Spirit of God moved. That doesn't just mean forward and backward, right and left. Say it. He was hovering. Oh, hallelujah. He was hovering over the chaos. Oh, hallelujah. Because chaos doesn't take him by surprise. He's not afraid of the chaos. He's not shaken by the void and the emptiness that's in your life. He's not moved by the darkness when you and I stand trembling with our knees knocking together because we can't see what God is trying to do. He's not scared. He's not moved by it, but his presence hovers over it. And I read to you where the Bible says that he was a covering to the people of God. Everything, every type and shadow that we look at, everything in that tabernacle, it shows the covering of God's presence. That ark was covered with that covering. The tent was covered with the covering. That the presence of God, the veil was there. We know, thank God, that the veil was rent from top to bottom. And now we can look in and we can go in to the presence of the Lord. But all of this that resembles a covering, God was telling them, I have hovered over you. I have covered you. And I just come to preach tonight at Calvary that his hovering is your covering. The hovering of the Holy Ghost, the dove of heaven that hovers over the chaos, come on somebody, that hovers over the emptiness that's in your life. You've lost a loved one, the Holy Ghost will hover over that void and he'll minister to you. You feel like you're in the dark. God, which way am I supposed to go? God can move and hover over that darkness and show you what direction that you need to go. Oh, now, there's a warning that's given in Isaiah chapter 30. And it says, woe to the rebellious children. See, As long as they stayed in God's will, the Spirit was there, the cloud was there, the power of the fire was there. And as long as you and I stay in God's will, the Holy Ghost ain't going to cover for your sin. Come on. I said He's not going to cover up for your sin. The Bible says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." Another text, I believe again in Isaiah, it says that the bed is too narrow and the blanket, the bed is too short and the blanket is too narrow. Anybody ever slept in a bed? You just couldn't find, just too tall. I'm not going to say too wide, but you was just too tall to be in that bed. Feet hanging off the end. My last name is Gans. I have that problem every once in a while. But He said the bed is too short and the cover can't even pull it over your shoulder. Why? Because the Holy Ghost ain't going to cover for you unless you're living for God. But let's look at the other side of that. If you are living for God, if you are faithful to what God's called you to do, if you have been obedient, then He's got you covered, because the Holy Ghost is hovering over the church. I said He's hovering over the church. Church in this hour. Somebody take courage. He moves in the chaos. He moves and brings order. He moves in the void, in the vacuum, in the emptiness. He moves in the darkness. And I heard Him say again, "I've got you covered, Calvary." Oh, hallelujah. Come on, just lift your hand. Just lift your hands to the Lord here tonight. God, would you speak to us? God, would you speak to us tonight? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. How many knows that if somebody gets on that piano and just starts banging around on the keys, I've never heard Sister Pepper bumble on the keys on the piano. Now, Brother Pepper, I don't know, maybe when she started, but as far back as I can remember, there's always been melody come off that piano. Mom would sit down to the piano. She started playing classical music at the age of 10 years old. She's been playing for a long time. And there's melody that comes off of those keys. It's not chaos. I said, it's not chaos. And sometimes that's what our life sounds like. Lord, I wish I could make a song out of this. I hope at some point a song will come out of this. Come on, somebody. But you know what it is? It's chaos. But God says, let me put my hands on it, and I'll bring a chorus out of the chaos. I'll give you a song in the middle of the night. In that emptiness, when you feel like you're not good enough, when you feel like you're lacking, when you feel like you're coming up short and you're just not quite measuring up in the situation, not only can He bring a chorus in that chaos in your life, but He can bring validation. I said He can validate you even in the void. I said He can bring that certain feeling of, I belong, and this is my church, and this is my family, and that's my heavenly Father. I said He can bring it tonight. And when you're in the darkness, not only does He bring validation in the emptiness and the void, but He can show you what direction to go even in the darkness. I just come to preach an encouraging message to us tonight. He sees you in the chaos. He saw the disciples in the storm and He went to them. I said He saw them in the chaos, but He went to them. I come to preach tonight that God sees you in a situation that you wish there was more order. You wish it wasn't so empty. You wish it wasn't so dark. But I can tell you, He can find you in the chaos. He can find you even in the darkness tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, We are troubled. When I put a blanket on, I want to be covered on every side. But when I'm in trouble, I don't like to be covered on every side. Was it Custer? That when Custer's last stand, I believe it might have been Custer, I can't remember. The story of Custer's last stand. When the enemy completely surrounded them, maybe it was Napoleon. The enemy completely had them surrounded. And they said, well, they can't run from us now. See, it's all about your perspective. I said, it's all about your perspective. And if you know how big God's covering is, it's big enough for your problem. I said, it's big enough for your problem. The Bible says that he meted out the heavens. Well, I feel God right here. With the span of his hand. Don't you remember in the New Testament where the scripture says to every man is given the measure of faith. Don't you think that God's got enough faith to cover you? Don't you think when your faith is weak that God can come by? Paul said, this life I live by the faith of the Son of God. When my faith is not weak, when I am weak, then am I strong. Troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Come on, Bible readers. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. He'll bring clarity in the chaos. He'll bring satisfaction in the emptiness. And he'll bring light into the darkness. I gotta say it again, Calvary. He's got you covered. I said he's got you covered. Aren't you glad tonight that the Holy Ghost is hovering over the church? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. There was a woman sitting in a red light. Many of you have heard this story. It's a true story. There was a woman sitting in a red light very early in the morning in a bad part of town. Thank God Chelsea only has. And the police station is right up the street. She's sitting at that light. And she, a man knocks on the window and he pulls a revolver. Said, I want your money, I want your vehicle. She was unarmed. I don't know if she was brave or felt like she didn't have any other option. She rolled the window down. I mean, I would have pushed the pedal on the right and asked forgiveness later if the light's still red. And so, he begins to threaten her. And she didn't know what else to do. The Holy Ghost came on her. She started praying in the Holy Ghost. She got to praying in the Holy Ghost. And she remembered that her pastor had preached from Psalm 91 the weekend before. But she couldn't quite quote the verse. But all she remembered was the fact that God has feathers. Come on, Bible readers. And sitting there at that red light, praying in the Holy Ghost, and trying in that frightened state of mind to remember that verse, all she could get out was feathers, feathers, feathers. More praying in the Holy Ghost. Feathers! Feathers! I see feathers! Feathers! No doubt that the look on that man's face, he probably thought to himself, I have knocked on the wrong window tonight. I ain't getting nothing from this. He takes off running. They meet up with the police later and they're interviewing this woman. And they said, woman, how is it that you got away with your vehicle and your purse and your life? Didn't he have a fire firearm? Yes. He had a gun pointed at my window. What did you do? She said, oh, never mind. You wouldn't understand. They said, no, we want to understand. We want to know exactly what happened. She said, if you insist, follow me to my car. And she opened the door, and in the floorboard, there was feathers. In the dashboard, feathers. In the back seat, there was feathers. I'm telling you tonight, church, when you find yourself in a situation like that, remember this scripture. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. He'll bring clarity and fill that void in your life. Shine light in the dark. Bring a chorus to your crisis. He'll speak peace in that time of peril. I told you last night or night before, the Holy Ghost has no twin. Oh. And he's not 6,000 years old. Like some genie in a bottle. That if you say just the right thing, and you do just the right thing. I don't know about y'all, but I found myself in situations I didn't know what the right thing was to do. I said, I didn't know what the right thing was to do. I didn't know what the right thing was to say. But I look back from the beginning, because that's where Moses said to start. In the beginning, God. It was God from the beginning. It's been God all the way. And it'll be God still in the end. The same spirit that was in the beginning. The same Shekinah glory that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone. The same fire that burned in Midian's bush. The same cloud and fire that led the people of God. The same glory that rested on the tabernacle. The same spirit. He told Ezekiel, I have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel. The same spirit on Elijah and John the Baptist and Jesus and Peter. The same Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost that made preachers stand up together and speak and preach with boldness. The same Holy Ghost on April the 27th, 2006, that entered into my soul. It's the same spirit. He's been hovering. He's been covering. He's been with us since the beginning. Come on, stand on your feet with me. Let's worship him tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's worship him tonight. Think back to a time where he covered you. Come on, think back to a time where he quickened you. Hey! Glory! Think back to a time where he reached through the chaos and brought order. Look back at the times where you had emptiness in your life and he filled it with his presence. Think back to the time when there was nothing but darkness and you heard a little voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. It's been the Holy Ghost from the beginning. It was the Holy Ghost yesterday. He's on us tonight. It'll be the Spirit of God all the way to the gate of the city. And so it is written, the first man Adam was a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit.
spirit. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwell also in you, he shall quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit. And I heard him say, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, woo! Hallelujah! Hey, glory! Somebody come get us a song tonight. The same Holy Ghost that illuminated the path of my feet about 4 weeks ago when I was up against it and I didn't know what to do. But he shone a light and he said, this is the way. I'm telling you, that's the same Holy Ghost that's going to get us out of here. I said, I said, that's the same Holy Ghost that's going to get us out of here. That's, I got to go back to it. That same Holy Ghost sitting at that back table in that room there at the nursing home with Sister Jessie Horner, 88 years old, going to talk it in tongues, change the entire atmosphere. You know what's going to quicken that body? It's going to be the Holy Ghost. I said, it's going to be the Holy Ghost. You know what's quickening me tonight, Pastor? When I don't have the strength to go on, when I don't have the strength to fight another fight, it's the Holy Ghost that will quicken the church. I say, God, send us revival, a revival of quickening. I said, a revival of quickening by the Holy Ghost in this house. I hope you're not waiting on this preacher tonight. I said, I hope you're not waiting on this preacher tonight. I preached till I can't hardly stand. I'm thankful tonight that he's got us covered, aren't you? Wow! I said, I'm thankful that he's got us covered at Calvary tonight. He's still hovering over his church.